Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
This coming Thursday, May 5, is 40 days after Easter Sunday. I mention this, dear friends, because 40 days after Jesus arose, as mentioned in Acts 1, then Jesus ascended back to heaven. Yes, this was an historical event that took place in Jesus' life on the Mount of Olives about 2,000 years ago now. Jesus physically, miraculously returned to heaven. And this event is worth special focus and commemoration and celebration, surely. All too many view Jesus' ascension as just an appendix fact about Christ. As one preacher put it, today, in much of the Christian church, even, the wonderful fact and gospel truth of Jesus' ascension is like the forgotten ending of Jesus' life and ministry here on earth. In this broadcast, I invite you to learn with me that Jesus' ascension back to heaven is actually the climax of Jesus' gospel ministry and another gospel fact about Jesus that proclaims so much good news for all who will hear and believe. Our text for this sermon is from John 17, the whole chapter of which is a prayer of Jesus, the Savior, to his heavenly Father. It's a prayer as high priest for his people, where Jesus says in holy climax in verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. From this text especially, let us think about reasons to celebrate Jesus' ascension. Some reasons are considering Jesus' passion as ascended Savior, Jesus' preoccupation as ascended Savior, and Jesus' promise as ascended Savior. Looking at our first point, what comes through so clearly in our text about Jesus' passion as ascended Savior? Jesus says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. The verb, I will, could be translated here, I desire. And then it should be understood here as not simply a matter of request, but of great delight. This is what was throbbing in Jesus' heart, even as he was ascending into heaven and coming home to glory with his Father. Father, I will, I want, I deeply desire. That is, my heart longs for this, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. You see, Jesus can't do anything without thinking of all his people, as many as trust and follow him, even as many as the Father has given to the Son in all the world, from every tribe and tongue and nation. His people are all on his heart, also very much as ascended Savior. Notice further, Jesus' passion is not only that all his people may be with him where he is in glory and infinite splendor above, but that his people might be there that they may behold his glory, which the Father has given to the Son. The verb to behold means here to see and to enjoy for ourselves as well. The glory which the Father has given to the Son is the glory the Savior will share with all his people, or let his people come to grasp and glory in with him. In verse 22, Jesus says as much, stating, And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them. The whole point of verse 24 is that Jesus here states his deepest longing, namely to have all his people where he is and to have them enjoy all that is given to him of the Father. Jesus prays with boldness, for he knows of his Father's boundless love for his Son from before the foundation of the world, from eternity to eternity, you might say. Jesus was sent of the Father to seek and to save sinners through his perfect life and once-for-all sacrifice on Calvary. When Jesus' gospel ministry on earth had been accomplished, even as he, as risen, triumphant Savior of sinners, ascends back to heaven, Jesus so prays for all his people, as many as the Father had given him, that they all might come where he is and be blessed with him there, truly and forevermore. Do you see and hear with me from our verse, dear friends, Jesus' passion as ascended Savior? Isn't it most striking and stirring that actually, in fact, even before his crucifixion and death and resurrection, Jesus is speaking as if his ascension back into heaven has taken place, and he prays for all who will trust and follow him, that they all may come to where he is or soon would be. Jesus' ascension into heaven so proclaims God's good pleasure in Christ as Savior. And coming into heaven, we know Jesus was given the place of highest honor and rule at the right hand of God the Father. And now think of it, even as Jesus is being lifted up to that place, yes, even before he comes there, his first and main thought is not just about himself, but about his people throughout history, that each and all may come to be where he is and to behold and enjoy his glory with him forever and ever. Compare Jesus here with our way often. If you are given a special present, even let us say a new chair, isn't it quite normal for us to be sure to enjoy that chair for ourselves, at least for a while, maybe a good while, before we are willing to share that chair with others? But consider Jesus. Even before he comes through his throne of glory in heaven, he is praying, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Yes, that they too may come on the throne of glory with me, and rejoice and be glad with me. Oh, doesn't this show and prove so much love and care on Jesus' part? We should ask here, what is this glory which the Father gives to his Son with his ascension especially? Who can really understand the infinite glory Jesus given by the Father when he ascended? Didn't a cloud hide from sight that glorious, intimate homecoming of Jesus Christ, God's only beloved Son, when come back to heaven to be with his Father there? Yet can we not say, at least this, doesn't Jesus receive with his ascension into heaven such glory and praise from the Father and all the heavenly host, that he is declared as most wonderful, triumphant Savior of sinners indeed? With Jesus' ascension, he is crowned as the one only God-sent, God-approved, God-fulfilling, God-glorifying, God-accepting, God-blessed, God-almighty, God-recognized, God-proclaimed, God-loved, God-eternal, Savior of sinners. Such like honor and glory God the Father shows to his Son, the ascended Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Does not Paul say in Philippians 2 that God has highly exalted him and given him, Christ Jesus, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father? Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verse 20 to 21, about Jesus Christ, who verily indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. This confirms, you see, that Jesus' glory in heaven, given to him by the Father, is the glory showing all his superb excellency and sufficiency and supremacy as triumphant, gracious Savior of sinners. And Jesus now, as ascended Savior, has this passion that all who have been given to him may see and enjoy this glory given to him in all its fullness forevermore in the new heavens and earth. Jesus' passion as ascended Savior is all for his people in his full salvation, and our ultimate good and joy, together with him forevermore. I ask you, doesn't this make Jesus' ascension into heaven something for God's people to celebrate indeed? This event is not an irrelevant event, an appendix just to Jesus' ministry, of little consequence for those who trust and follow the Savior. No, Jesus ascended as forerunner of his people. And even as he ascends, he stretches out his hands in blessing upon his disciples, in so much care and love and prayer for them. Isn't it beautiful the way Jesus ascended, with his hands outstretched in blessing? And isn't it wonderful his passion for his own, even as he returns to heaven in infinite splendor? Doesn't this text also make you feel overwhelmed in amazement? I mean, who are we, sinful, undeserving people of ourselves? And even after saving grace, often still so thankless and complaining, that the Savior should so care for people like us and have such a passion for our persons and well-being. This prayer of Jesus in John 17, the whole of it and the climax of it in verse 24, is simply astounding if you reflect on it. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Thankfully, the last part of the verse doesn't say, notice, for thou knowest, O my Father, how worthy and great my people are. No, but Jesus' prayer is all grounded and founded on the love within the Trinity and from out of the Trinity. It's all steeped in and stems from the sheer inexpressible divine love as revealed to us and rooted in the person and work of Christ as crucified, risen, and exalted Savior of sinners, as ordained from eternity and accomplished in history with impact for everlasting. So Jesus says, as ground for his prayer, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Dear friends, do you see with me something of the enthusiasm and passion of Christ for his people? And does that draw you to Christ in true faith and adoration? What reasons to remember with humble and hearty appreciation and thanksgiving Jesus' ascension, thinking just of his passion as ascended Savior for all his people? What about, however, if you are not a follower of Jesus and still living unrepentant and possibly indifferent before God, with unbelieving heart, not sorry for sin, not trusting him as only Savior and Lord? I ask you then, do you have a friend like Jesus is for his people? One who cares so much for you? One who cares for you not just for your body, but for your soul? And not just for this life, but for all the eternal life to come too? One who leads you not only through life, but even through death? The Bible teaches us, if Jesus is not your friend, that is, if you will not be befriended by him, then whatever friends and company you may have, they just can't and won't compare to Jesus Christ. Indeed, ultimately, you will be left totally friendless forevermore if you reject and despise Jesus Christ as the friend above all friends for sinners like us. The text speaks of those whom the Father gave to the Son. And who are they? They are not, none of them, extra special people of themselves, having certain qualities making them eligible over others. No, but true Christians are all those who confess their sins and cry to Christ Jesus for his mercy and deliverance from their sins and sinfulness. Jesus calls all to come to him, the friend of sinners and only Savior for sinners like us, you and me. Jesus' invitation is, whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. If you too will be one of those whom the Father has given to the Son, Jesus will show you, coming to him, that you too may be found among his people. With him is plenteous redemption for whoever comes to him. All those whom the Father has given to his Son and ordained to eternal life, they do come and keep coming to the Savior for his mercy and grace. Does that include you too? The ascended Savior is so passionate about this, even from heaven above, calling and drawing sinners to himself, out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is his preoccupation as ascended Savior. Indeed, is not the ascended Savior preoccupied with this, even also now with this Banner of Truth radio message? Here we come to our second main point, too. Jesus doesn't only show such passion for all his people, but his preoccupation is for all his people. Also now, from heaven above, we need to know. From his throne in heaven, we know from other scriptures, Jesus preoccupied there on behalf of all his people. For instance, from his place of glory and power, Jesus is always praying for his people. Here a good text to mention is Hebrews 7, verse 23 to 25. The writer there is glorying in Jesus and the better New Testament covenant age in and through him, saying, "And they truly were many priests in the Old Testament, because they were not suffered or granted to continue by reason of death. But this man, that is Jesus Christ, because he continues ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, one which passes not from one to another. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, or evermore, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them." You see, from his throne room above, Jesus is always praying for his people here below, those saved and not yet saved. And he is pleading always as the Savior, in whom and through whom and from whom is full salvation, on account of his own finished saving work on sinners' behalf. Jesus praying with his nail-pierced hands, and God the Father will always be pleased to hear and answer all the prayers of his Son, the crucified and risen Redeemer. There is salvation to the ultimate degree with Jesus Christ, even for the vilest and worst of sinners who comes to God through him. Are you someone coming to Jesus in faith and repentance? Are you calling on God for his saving help for you and others too? We can be sure on account of Jesus' intercession that between Jesus' ascension and his second coming, many will yet be saved. Indeed, all whom the Father gave to the Son will be saved. Not one will be lost. Will you be someone who will not pray to God, nor look to Christ as only Savior, but rather will stay guilty and condemned in sin and not be among the saved by Jesus? Don't we all have evidence in us of our great need of deliverance from the guilt and bondage and punishment of sin? I know the ascended Savior is praying, even at this moment, that more be gathered in. Why shouldn't it include you? Knowing your sin and guilt left to yourself, why not go to Jesus the Savior while he still freely offers pardon and peace? The ascended Savior is praying from heaven above for the salvation and keeping of all his people till the end of the age. His passion is filled with compassion, also from heaven above, and he calls all to look to him and be saved. Isn't it such a comfort that Jesus, as ascended Savior, is a praying high priest in heaven above? As believers too, isn't it so encouraging and overwhelming even to think not only other believers, but especially Jesus himself in heaven, is praying for you and me, for us here on earth in all our life's journey and witness? Thinking of Jesus' preoccupation in heaven, the Bible makes clear not only Jesus' intercession in heaven, but consider too his provision from heaven. From heaven as ascended Savior, that all whom the Father gave him may indeed one day forevermore be with him. Think of Jesus' provision for the salvation of sinners. He gives himself constantly, holding forth his own finished work as the ground of salvation. And Jesus with the Father poured out the Holy Spirit as the divine, almighty agent of salvation, proclaiming the good news and applying it savingly to the hearts of sinners, convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus gives his word and takes care from heaven to send forth many preachers and teachers, ambassadors of his word, having it repeatedly sounded and increasingly made known throughout the ends of the earth. Jesus, having gone to heaven, in other words, has not forgotten about his people, but is always working to provide for them in all their needs. Paul could say, as he does to the believers in Philippi, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Further, we hear Jesus say to his disciples just before his ascension, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Though he would leave physically, yet as ascended Savior, Jesus stays involved with his people and resolved for his people, and always there to give out of his fullness grace for grace until the end of the world. And he's always present with his people by his Spirit and Word. What wonderful news that Jesus didn't just ascend into heaven with a passion for his people, but with a preoccupation for his people too, thereby proving his passion. The Savior is out also always to protect his people and to preserve his church. Jesus also said, "I go to prepare a place for you." So he tells his disciples in John 14, and whatever that all means, such he does from heaven above. For sure, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, and nothing shall separate believers from God's love and care and keeping. Oh, how rich the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Also thinking now of this fact of Jesus' ascension into heaven. Do you too know of Jesus' preoccupation in calling and leading you heavenward? Doesn't every Christian know something of this and glory so in this amazing grace of God for a sinner like yourself and myself? How God, by his Spirit and Word, works true conversion and turning from sin and looking to the Lord in all our needs. God in Christ already now gives so much comfort too in life's journey and eternal hope for the future, especially again by his Spirit and gospel promises. We have an almighty, victorious Savior in Jesus Christ. As mentioned at the end of Hebrews 6, Jesus, the triumphant Savior of sinners, who has gone to heaven, is as the anchor in glory for his people, and as the forerunner, the trailblazer for all who trust in him. Is Jesus' ascension a matter of great comfort and joy to you, dear friends? The disciples went on their way rejoicing in Christ as Savior and full of zeal for him and his cause when Jesus ascended. We know this was because they also understood and believed Jesus' passion as ascended Savior and his preoccupation as ascended Savior. Furthermore, should we not add here also they knew something of Jesus' promise as ascended Savior? Here we come to our third point very briefly, which admittedly is not found directly in our text, but surely comes in the context of our text. I mean here, of course, the promise of Jesus that he will return one day to establish his final and eternal kingdom. When Jesus ascended and the disciples were watching him go up, we read in Acts 1 verse 10 and following, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Jesus promises here, you see, to come again, that also the prayer of John 17:24 may come to its grand fulfillment. In John 14, verse 2 and following, Jesus tells his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house with his many mansions. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You see, this is the great goal of the Savior and the will of the Trinity, that all whom the Father gave to the Son be forever with him in perfect glory and triumphant joy and peace and fellowship in eternity to come. Jesus' promise and preoccupation and passion as ascended Savior all fits together and brings out what a glorious and grand Savior you and I find in and with him when we are trusting and following him. This all proclaims and confirms, you see then, what a gospel verse this is concerning Jesus and his salvation. John 14:24, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Imagine what it will be like to be forever with Christ, seeing and enjoying his glory and splendor with all the redeemed in the new heaven and earth. The best we can imagine it, even altogether, it will be yet infinitely more wonderful than that. Yes, as 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 states, "For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." What a prospect this gives indeed. I pray this radio message then will, by God's Spirit, bring rich comfort and enjoyment for God's people, leading you onward and zealous in the Christian faith. We serve not only a risen Savior, but the ascended Savior, full of passion, preoccupation, and promise for all his people, as many as are ordained to eternal life, involving also as many as will trust and follow him. I pray, too, this message will awaken and disarm all still unsaved. For think of it, what will it be to meet the ascended Savior in all his glory and not be one of his? What will it be on the last judgment day to have to be told to spend eternity not in everlasting glory in heaven, but in endless torment in hell? Be wise and seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't wait till it is forever too late to get right with God. Jesus' promise of returning as judge and king over all is coming closer and closer to ultimate fulfillment. Don't be caught dead and unprepared to meet him, will you? I plead with you in Jesus' name, yes, at the personal bidding even of the ascended Savior himself. You will listen, therefore, won't you? Hear the word of the Lord and turn from sin, for why will you die even forevermore? The ascension of Jesus, don't let it be like an appendix truth or the forgotten ending of Jesus' life and ministry. No, for truly it is climactic gospel tidings, especially considering how Christ Jesus ascended as triumphant, almighty Savior of sinners with so great a passion and preoccupation and promise for our good, both now and forevermore. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Amen.
Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. But if you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our church services. If you have been blessed by this message and you wish to let us know that, or simply to request a free copy of the message, you can write to the Banner of Truth, 2419 54th Avenue, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, postal code T3E1M2. That's the Banner of Truth, 2419 54th Avenue, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T3E, Tom and Elizabeth, 1M2, as in mother. You can also call direct at 403-474-5385. That's 403-474-5385. We are always glad to hear from you. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. These messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, the Free Reformed Church is located at 2419 54th Avenue, Southwest Calgary. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 5:30. Pastor Hans Overdoon can be reached at 403-474-5385. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.